have an obligation, I have a debt to pay, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. I want you to notice four things as we go through this text. Let me just read through verse 17, and I'll come back and touch on these things. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I want to give you two sets of four. First of all, I want to deal with Paul's attitude. I want you to notice four things about his attitude. Number one, he had a sense of obligation. I often ask people, does grace incur debt? I love to ask this question to pastors. Does grace incur debt? They say no. Paul says yes. It's a debt of gratitude. We don't labor, we don't work, we don't serve in order to gain or merit or buy anything from God. We work, we labor, we sacrifice, we serve. Why? Because we already have it all. We saw yesterday that we have all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. And so Paul said, I have a debt that I have to pay. The second thing is that he had an eagerness to do it. There was no reluctance on his part. He says, as much as is in me, everything that's in me, I am ready, eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. There was a great eagerness there. And then thirdly, you notice that in addition to the sense of obligation and the eagerness, he is unashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why are we ashamed to proclaim to a world that is dying in sin that there is a rescue? That there is a solution? That salvation is not to be earned. It's not to be bought. It's not to be gained by any kind of labor. It is a free gift from the grace of God. I would be ashamed to preach the message of an atheist. I would be ashamed to preach the message of an evolutionist. But I am not ashamed, as Paul was not ashamed, to proclaim the gospel of the grace of God. And then there was an expectancy. You notice the expectancy is, he says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. And so Paul, in his great wisdom that God gave him, always connects with the idea of our salvation, the idea of sanctification. We are not just here to be saved from hell. We're not just here to get our ticket punched and escape from condemnation. We are here to be incorporated into the body of Christ, into the army of God, to become an active member waging war against the forces of darkness. And so he says, from faith to faith. He actually captures that same idea in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 when he says, as therefore you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, do what? So walk in Him. You've received Him. You have the gift. You've received the life. What are you going to do now? Walk in Him. You say, how do I do it? It's very simple. From faith to faith. You know, you have 2 feet. Some of the people in the video we just saw had no feet. We have 2 feet. We put one forward and then we put another one forward, and we walk by faith and not by sight, Paul says, and therefore every day is a saunter through life. I like to saunter. I love to just go out and ramble in the woods. I love to climb mountains. I love to just, but I like it best when I'm not pushed, when I can just saunter. I look at faith and the walk of faith as a sauntering in faith. But what most people don't know is that the word saunter comes from santiera, and it meant that you are on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I am on a pilgrimage. You are on a pilgrimage through life. We are going to that kingdom. We pray, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. And it will be coming very soon, I believe. And we are moving for those gates. And if you stick around for the next session, you're going to see what believers see when they die. I will show you the end of the journey. I'll show you from Scripture. There's only one passage in the entire Bible that tells us what a child of God sees the moment they close their eyes in death. Next session. Turn with me to Romans 10. Oh, I told you I was going to give you two sets of four. I'm watching the clock here. I'm trying to move along. Four more things we should notice about what Paul says here. Number one, the gospel is for all men. To the Greeks and the barbarians and the wise and the unwise, there is no one the gospel is not for. Number two, it is the power to save all. There's no one that's beyond the power of God to save. But there is one qualification, and it is the power of God to save all who believe. Number three, it reveals God's righteousness. God is righteous to forgive you and I and give us eternal life because Christ paid the debt. He is not compromising His holiness in any way. He took upon Himself the debt so that He could give us life as a gift. And then finally, the idea of faith to faith, as I've already touched on, means that we need to move on from the new birth. We need to grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. We need to identify the plan and the purpose that God has for our service to Him. Every single one of you, if you're a child of God, you are a priest. Every one of you is an ambassador. Every one of you is a minister. We all have a threefold work to accomplish. We are a priest. We pray on behalf of others. We intercede on behalf of others. We're an ambassador. We go to communicate to others the message. And then we're a minister because we have a ministry to the body of Christ. That's the threefold plan of God for your life. I promise you, I guarantee you, especially for the young people here, if you become a priest in your prayers, an ambassador in your witness, and a servant in your ministry, your life will be rich. And I see people who have nothing, and they're rich because they're actively engaged in God's plan. Romans 10 now, if you will, quickly. Sometimes short classes are the best ones because you can just hit everything hard and there's not all the... I don't know. Sometimes our commentary runs a little bit too long. Romans 10. In Romans 10, verse 13, well, let me just start in verse 11. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. He's really capturing what he said in Romans chapter 1, salvation is for all men. Verse 13, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a quote from Joel 2:32. And then he asked a question, and here's the dilemma, and here is the question that we need to face as church, churches, as members of churches, as individual believers. How then shall they call on Him? Who's the they? All. The all for whom Christ died. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Preacher here doesn't mean preacher in the sense we think of pastor of a church. It means someone to proclaim the message. How will they hear if no one speaks the message? How shall they preach unless they're sent? You know, all of us have to be sent. I remember seeing a guy in Africa, a pastor speaking to his congregation. And in the congregation, there were very, very old men and there were very, very young men, old women, young women. He said, "You old people, you can't go, but you can pray and you can send. You young people don't have the resources to send, but you have the strength to go." I'll never forget being in Nigeria on my first trip to Africa, and we pulled into a place where they wanted me to meet a woman who had recently come to Christ. They were just living there. Their home was a thatched roof with four poles to get under, and that was it. No sides, no floor, no nothing. They had maybe two or three pans, and that was the sum total of their possessions. As we pulled into the little place where she was living, I saw different children dragging branches. One little boy couldn't have been over this big, and I saw him struggling to drag a branch as they were trying to gather wood that they could use for a fire. There was a scraggly little cornfield out back that they were trying to survive on. We got out of the vehicle and walked up, and they introduced me to the lady, and the translator that was with us said, "Where is your husband?" The story was that he had gone to a meeting. He had heard about Jesus Christ. He came to faith in Christ, came home to his family, announced to them that he had the most wonderful news. He said, "We don't need to worry about being poor anymore. We don't need to worry about starving anymore. I have the most wonderful news. Jesus came and died to give us eternal life." He explained the whole gospel message. His wife believed. His children believed. They were singing. They were excited. They were thrilled. And she said the whole family was filled with joy. And then after some days, she started to notice her husband seeming kind of down and gloomy. And she said, "Husband, what's wrong?" He pointed to the mountains to the north of him, and he said, "There are villages beyond those mountains, and they have never heard. Who will tell them unless I go?" She said, "You must go." Her husband left her and five little kids to struggle to survive. He had been gone 6 months. She had no word from him whether he was alive or dead. And then she turned to me and said, "Isn't it wonderful that God called my husband to be the one that carried life to those people?" We need to be awakened. We need to wake up. The events that are going on in our world right now are going to remind us in a very harsh fashion that life is not about the American dream, and that it's not about how much we make, and that it's not about how much I get, and it's not true that he that dies with the most toys wins, because when you die, you still die, and you either go to heaven or you go to hell. And so the question that I would lay before you this morning, and I'm going to pick right up here in the next session, is how are they going to hear unless someone tells them? When I came to Christ, I determined that if I was the only person in the world, I would take the world on as a challenge to communicate the gospel. I was so poor, I couldn't pay for a trip around the block. Within a year of believing, I ended up in Brazil. I came under demonic attack like I can't even describe to you. I almost took my own life just out of the tremendous dark demonic attack that I was under. I was 16 years old in the middle of the Amazon jungle. And right before I took my life, God gave me a verse. Job 13:15, "Though he slay me, yet I will serve him." And I said, that's the answer. And no matter what happens to me, I'm going to serve him even if it kills me. And the darkness was gone. The demonic oppression was gone. And I rose up and I knew that I had found my calling in life. I have to go tell a world that hasn't heard. There's another part to that story. I'm going to tell it next hour, so come back if you want to hear it. And it's a big ending, a big ending. I'm going to close now, and we're going to pick this up next time. Thanks for being patient with me, being a little bit late. It's really because Ken wouldn't bring me. I'm just kidding. No, actually, we just mistook the time. But hey, we're here. Better late than never. You've gotten a foretaste. Next hour is the banquet. Father, we're thankful for your grace. Bless your word. Challenge us by your Spirit. Awaken us from our slumber. Open our eyes to see the cry of the world around us, starting at our doorstep, starting with our neighbor, starting in our own town. If we can't reach Jerusalem, how can we reach Judea and Samaria and the rest of the world? Help us to understand when Paul says to the Jew first and then the Gentile, he's not saying that the Jew is given a superior position or greater opportunity. He's saying that was ground zero for where the message began. And from there, it had to spread to the uttermost parts of the earth. So, Father, I thank you for each and every person here this morning. All of us need to be stirred. We need to be challenged. We need to humble ourselves and ask the question, what part can I play? How can I do better? Am I the hands, the feet, the mouth, the eyes, the ears? What would you have me to do? That was Saul of Tarsus' first question on the road to Damascus. Lord, who are you? And then, what would you have me to do? Those two questions will take us to the end of the road. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.